What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Boss Man Show standing in Fort Valley, Georgia, going to cover the football side now with Coach Sean Gibbs. Coach Gibbs, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. What about you?
Coach is lovely, man. I can't complain one bit. Been out here cutting the grass. I'm talking to you all in Fort Valley State, man. I get you all on this platform, my brother.
I appreciate you having us.
Yes, sir. And Coach, let me ask you this, man. Where did it mean to get this job here at Fort Valley, man? Been at ANC all those years, man, and be able to lead this program, put your staff on these guys down here and help these young men become better men and better football players on the field.
Yeah, you know, it was a dream come true as an assistant coach. When you get in this profession, you know, ultimately your goal should be to become a head football coach and have an opportunity to run your own football program. So, you know, after over 20 years of being an assistant, you know, I was blessed to receive the opportunity from Fort Valley to come down and lead this program. And it's been really good. I really like the administration. Dr. Renee Miles Payne, our new athletic director, has a vision for the program. She's been great. Our president, you know, Dr. Paul Jones has been great as well. And, you know, our alums are really involved and really trying to get this program to where it needs to be. And that's at the top of the conference.
No doubt, Coach. And Coach Mesky is, man, I know a lot of people don't understand how it is in D2. It's scholarship wise, also you've been a state school as well. So trying to get young men in there and not with the full allotment you can have, man, how tricky can that be? And how creative to be in recruiting wise and trying to get Pell Grants and certain things to make sure you get guys schools pick school paid for and field a great roster as well.
Well, you know, that's the real tricky part about it. You know, we're not one of those schools in the conference that is fully funded and is allowed, you know, the 36 scholarships. We don't have that. So we're not at the top of the heap when it comes to, you know, scholarship dollars. So what we have to do is we have to do a real good job of recruiting the state of Georgia and trying to find as many kids that we can that we feel like will be a good fit for our program academically and athletically. So we're looking for those kids out there with a 3.0, you know, so they can qualify for the Hope Scholarship. And then hopefully, you know, they can qualify for some for the Pell Grant and things of that nature. And we can try to get them to where they don't have to come out of pocket and pay anything. You know, it's not like the Division I schools where you just get a full scholarship and everything's paid for. You know, we got to be creative and find ways and try to get guys as close to a zero balance as we can. And on top of that, you know, you have to be able to recruit some guys out of the portal, and you have to be able to recruit against some guys that are a higher level than you. Like, we don't think of ourselves as we're not recruiting Division II players. We're recruiting Division I players, guys that can play at the Division I level. They might just not have the opportunity, or, you know, something might not be right for them academically or whatever the case may be, and we'll be right there for them. So, you know, we want Division I players. I think our coaches do a really good job of recruiting the state, and we're slowly but steadily building this program to where we need it to be.
And I'll say to any young men out here who want to transfer back into Georgia, when you point old GPA, you can make it Pope scholarship and play for Coach Gibbs. So to your young man, listen to this show, young man, do good in class. It might help you out on the back end if you need another opportunity as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Coach, like you said, man, like I was sitting talking about it was Montez, like, you know, I come from Tennessee State. I understand being a state school and how it works. Sometimes we don't get the money we need. We're underfunded. Right. So we have to really fight the community, have our alumni base be there for us. So I feel like I want to say all the Fort Valley alumni in Atlanta area who I see on HBCU nights in Atlanta, please help you out your school and give them their money, give back to them. Because Coach Gibbs and Coach Montez are doing the best they can, and they need your help as well. Anything helps for these guys to make sure that your team's winning and on Saturdays on the football field and on the weekend on Montez on the people with basketball, man. That's why it's very important that the alumni base helps you all out as well, Coach Gibbs.
Right, absolutely. You know, I think we do have one of the strongest alumni bases in the HBCU world as far as the percentage of alums that give back. Of course, we need to improve as well as all of our other HBCUs. But, you know, we also got to find some other creative ways to get some money in. And most of our land grant institutions in the country, and that's all of our HBCUs, are owed millions upon millions of dollars from our respective states. So, you know, we also need to find a way to claim that money and get it. I've seen, you know, Tennessee State, I think they got some money coming in, and I know the schools in Maryland, Morgan, and Bowie State got some money coming. So, you know, those you guys are not the only ones that's owed money. So, you know, we need to find a way to get some of that, get our alumni giving back, get the communities giving back, and make our schools what they're meant to be. And that's great.
No doubt, man, because I feel like, Coach, my dad's a coach as well, so my dad raised me the right way. And I feel like going to HBCU school, Coach, I had teachers, professors who really – cared about me more than just what I was a football player, was right. Cared about me as a human being, cared about me, wanted me to be a good, successful young black male in the world. So think about being able to coach young black men, be their father figure, help lead them and help them be a good black young man 40 years from now, not just on the football field, never get a lesson for their whole lives, from husbands, businessmen, good people in communities. So talk about that role you play for your players, man.
Oh yeah, you know it's very important. I myself, I'm a third generation North Carolina Central Eagle. You know, my great grandfather was at North Carolina Central in 1911. School was founded in 1910. Then my father is a North Carolina Central graduate, along with you know, many other first cousins and my wife. So, you know, Black College is near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I know how much of a difference it made in my life. And the thing that, you know, affected me the most was I got a chance to understand just how diverse our community is. The culture of the Black culture and how diverse it is. I come from an area where it's a small percentage of Black people that look like you and I. It was only, you know, about 40 Black kids in my whole high school. So most of the kids that I was around, everybody was the same. Everybody's from the same socioeconomic economic background. Educationally, everybody was pretty the same. Athletically, everybody was close. You know, we were the best athletes in the school. And then I got a chance to go to Durham and just see how diverse we are. It was really the first time. I know this is kind of funny. It's funny to me. I don't know how funny it is to everybody else, but I really didn't realize that it was so many Black guys out there that were not good athletes until I got to school. Because, you know, in my high school, we were all the best players and everything, and everybody could play. Then I got to Central and walked in the gym and saw some guys that weren't athletes. Oh, wow. But, you know, other than that, you know, I got a chance to meet people whose parents were doctors and lawyers and get a chance to be around those people. So, you know, I've had the privilege of being around a lot of successful people. And I think now it's my job to pass down to the younger generation what it takes to be successful. And in doing that, I have to share with them not only the good things or the great things that I've done in my life, but also the mistakes. And so I take that responsibility. It weighs on me heavily. I take a tremendous amount of pride in it. And that's really the purpose in me being a coach, is I want to make an impact on these guys outside of just the game of football. Because the truth is, a small percentage of these guys are going to go on to play any type of professional football. The majority are going to be professionals in something else. So it's our job as coaches to kind of help guide them and show them the way to become young, black, and successful.
No doubt, Coach. Like I said, for me, getting cut from training camps twice, I knew it was over. And I found radio. My degree's in business, Coach. I have no communications background. But I've been doing this 14 years, 12, 14, you know what I'm
Right.
saying? But you have to be able to be prepared. I think my business degree helped me, and me having a son of a coach, I play, so I can talk sports. I feel like all my background and rearing helped me to be where I am today, because I don't have the journalism background, but I can write. You know, I can
Right.
edit, I can produce, I can do everything they can do with the degree. And I think that's why some, obviously, be real, coach, some people in my field are mad that I didn't pay my dues per se. I just kind of learned it on the fly. And
Right.
now where I am now.
Right. Well, you know, you paid your dues in other ways. You know, I think you agree with this, like college football, playing college football, just football in general, just teaches you so much about how to handle things. You know, you have to understand time management. You have to understand how to work with other people. You have to understand you got to be selfless. You got to check your ego. You got to learn about sacrifice. So once you get through playing college football and you venture out into the world, even if it's something that you're not familiar with, you've developed those skills and that work ethic to make you become successful. Now, you know, they might not agree that you paid your dues, but I think it's just the fact that in such a short amount of time, because of the things you learned through the game of football, you developed a work ethic that allows you to pass a lot of people that's been doing it longer. And, you know, that's going to make you mad if you're one of those people that gets passed. But, you know, the game will get you right. You just got to pay attention to the lessons and apply those once you graduate.
Coach, my first gig was the early graveyard shift, 2 or 6 a.m. in the morning. Me, the truckers and deers, Coach.
Right.
Who's to talk
Right.
about sports at that time of morning? You know, so I was doing the hard yards, getting up at 11 o'clock at night, getting ready to prepare for a show. So, I paid some dues. I didn't do it your way, but
Right.
I paid some dues my way. You know, and then Coach now is that I own my own stuff now.
Right.
Like, nobody can ask me, can I talk to Coach Sean Gibbs? I ask myself.
Right. Right.
You know, that's what some people are, people who are upset with me, Coach, they work with somebody else. I work for
I hear that.
myself.
I hear that.
So that's what I love about what I do. Every day I get up, I know I'm earning it for me and my family.
Right.
I control my own destiny every day. That's
Right.
what I tell young men when I talk to them about my story. I'm to the point that every day I control my end result by what I put in, how I do, whether it's a sales call, interviewing with you, interview here. So everything I do is an effect on my life. So nobody can tell me nothing. I know everything I do, JR has something to do with it. So that's what
Right,
I love about
right. That's cool. That's cool.
if football, you know, football, the ultimate team sport, but now I'm an individual out here on the island, but it's all good though. But football gave me this one to do what I do right
Right, and the mindset. You eat what you kill.
now.
So that's your mindset every morning. You get up, you eat what you kill. So you got to go get it.
No doubt, man. No doubt. And Coach, best guess, man. Can you explain to the people how it, tough it was, but fun it was coming in first year, being 82, could have been 91, to be honest with you. You know, but
Right.
come in year one, get 8 wins. So set a tone for your program, set them the coach the right way, getting guys to buy in year one.
Right. It was a lot of fun. You know, I've been telling people that you know, for me, it's a little two-sided because I'm extremely proud of the effort that the guys put forth last year and all the work they put in, and to win eight games in our first year as a program is a tremendous accomplishment, and it was fun. But at the same time, I'm still disappointed because, you know, we got our butts kicked at homecoming, got embarrassed at homecoming, and then we lost a game, you know, late in the season to one of our rivals. So it was kind of bittersweet. You know, it was definitely fun being able to win eight games. I know most people don't do that in their first year, and so I'm extremely thankful and blessed to have had the opportunity to do that. But at the same time, I'm just you know, let's have the mindset that, you know, it's win or go home. You know, I'm in the business to win, and I want to win every game that I ever participate in. So, you know, although eight games was good and it was fun, still disappointed because of those two games that we lost. And I'm sure that's the same for everybody. But, you know, now I'm excited to move on and try to do it again. What eight games did was set a standard. You know, we can't go backwards. You know, we got to go up from here. You know, eight, the standard's been set. That's where the bar is. So now we got to raise the bar.
Instead of raising that bar, Coach, how have you churned up workouts and individual drills as these guys prepare for this year? And camp starts here soon. How have you got these guys all spring and summer to get them their minds prepared for this run? Because now people are gonna try to hunt you all day. No more sticking up on anybody. Now you're the hunted.
Right. Well, you know, I think we're still a little bit disrespected. You know, we had 10 guys make preseason all conference. We were our quarterback was named preseason offensive player of the year, but they voted us to finish fourth. So we had the most all conference guys, and we got somebody that you think is the best returning player in the conference, but you predict us to finish fourth, you know, and behind two teams that we beat head to head. So, you know, it hadn't been hard because, you know, we feel like we're still being disrespected. And that's okay. We know, you know, preseason is exactly that. It's preseason. It means nothing. But, you know, that allows us to keep a chip on our shoulder. So, you know, we're not being hunted. We're hunting people.
No doubt. Coach Gibbs, I know how when I played, I was like, no, I'm preseason OVC polls. I'm like, how you going to jail something you ain't even seen yet?
Right.
They
Have
just
no
blow my
clue.
mind.
Right. You have no clue. No clue. And but you know, and that's what it is. You know, last year they, you know, we were predicted to finish toward the bottom. And you know, this year it's a little bit better. But you know, like you just said, they don't know what anybody has. They only thing you know is who's supposed to be returning, but you know, on the Division II level, a lot of times you don't even know that. You know, with the transfer portal and the way things are now. So nobody really knows what anybody else has. All we know is that Benedict is the defending champions and everybody's chasing them. That's what we know.
You know, I tell them dudes out of the league, we'll see. We play on that Saturday, whatever Saturday it is, we'll see.
Right.
I don't care about your little rankings. It's like, yeah, Gerald, just don't care.
Yeah, we're gonna
I'll see
see.
them on Saturday when we play them.
Right. Right. We're gonna find out.
Coach, that's why I say this media so bad. That's why, like, I can't, man, y'all, so many dudes will be like, what are you doing, man? Like, I can't do. I'll be like, man, this is crazy.
All right.
So I got my own stuff, man. Like, I would not be that guy to ask about some dad going preseason poll. No, nothing. What are we talking about?
All right.
You know? And you know, Coach, like for you, man, like as you get into that fall camp here, at what point do you start, you know, preparing for that game one versus just putting stuff in? I know that's usually that kind of balance you have to decide. So at what point do you move on from just putting in install versus preparing for that first game in the Red Tails Classic?
About 2 weeks out, you know, we usually try to get, you know, 2 weeks of installation when we're competing against each other, kind of showing guys how we're going to practice, how we're going to do things, and then about 2 weeks out, we really start preparing for Tuskegee. You know, I think that's the right way to do it because, you know, the first part of camp is for us to worry about us. You know, we got to learn how we're going to play. We got to learn how we're going to do things. We got to figure out what we can do and what we can't do. And then when we get about 2 weeks out, then we can shift our focus and start preparing for Tuskegee. Now, you know, the coaches, we've been preparing all summer already. So it's not really, it's not going to be a big deal for us. It would just be that the players will start getting introduced to Tuskegee about 2 weeks out.
Now that's what's where you got, Coach. Now, you've been a former coach of running backs. The NFL, they're kind of debating running backs, this sports their pay. What is your thoughts about that? Because I'm hearing chatter that people telling kids to not play running back, do something else because you're not going to get paid on the next level. And so right. What are your thoughts on how the running back position has kind of been devalued and kind of being overlooked by the NFL GMs, owners, for us paying them what they're worth?
You know, I think it's just it's tragic because, you know, what happens is they use these guys up, beat them up, give them the ball 300 times a year, beat their bodies up, and then just discard them and throw them away. So, you know, people can say that the running back position has been devalued. I think I disagree with that. I think individual running backs probably aren't as high value as they should be. Although it's funny to me, you know, that Christian McCaffrey got his money. I think we know what makes him different than all the other running backs, but it's just funny that he got his. And you got somebody like Saquon Barkley who should be able to cash in. It's not because of the market right now. But what I think needs to happen is the NFLPA and maybe some of the running backs agents need to get together. And they probably need to figure out something that can be done on the front end. I know there's a cap to the rookie salaries, but – that needs to be looked at because it's not fair. You know, you're playing probably the other than O line and D line, the running back's gonna get hit more than everybody else.
Yes.
And you know, unlike an O lineman or a D lineman, you're getting hit by people bigger than you. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a position where your career is not long anyway. You know, it's you got the shortest lifespan. So they try to get you. At a cheap rate and then never pay you once you prove or once you produce. So it's different than it's different than all the other positions. Now I understand though, from a business perspective, I do understand it, you know, cause you beat somebody up. Of course, you know, if you're taking 300 hits a year, your body's not going to be the same the next year. Then you do that 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row. You just ain't going to be the same. Kids nowadays are not built like the Walter Paytons and the Emmitt Smiths. I mean, you got, you know, Derrick Henry, but the majority of the guys, even though they got all these muscles and all this advanced training right now, they're just not built to take that pound in that some of the old school backs did. So, you know, it's tragic. I understand from a business perspective, and I think something definitely has to be done to make it fair to those
guys.
And
I think these guys overtrain too, Coach, which caused those meniscus tears and random ACL tear, because I know I play different sports, but now these guys are getting more just siloed into one sport.
Right.
Like I played basketball, baseball, football, tennis, and track. Right. So I'll use different muscles, hit me on the football field.
Right.
But these dudes are just getting these silos of just doing one thing and all that overuse and overwear. You get a random, just run a wheel route, your knee pops on. Because all that right. overuse, overtrain. I feel like the trend, sports science is kind of overdone some of these guys, and it catches them when they least expect with ACL or Achilles or something like that, mild overuse.
Right. That, you know, I think that definitely makes a difference. And, you know, just simple stuff like playing outside. And, you know, back in the day, everybody was outside and people had to work and chop wood. And I know there's kids out there that still do that, but the majority of them, you know, they're in there on the video games. And then when they do train, they're just going to work out with a trainer and, you know, doing, you know, drills that most of the time really don't make too much sense to me. And I ain't ever seen nobody run around 10 cones on the football field. So I don't know if that's going to help you when you get out there. It looks good. And but, yeah, you know, I think what happened to the running back market, though, going back to it, was Todd Gurley. When when Todd Gurley got all that money and then didn't produce, it made everybody say, "Oh man, we don't need to invest in anybody like that anymore." And I think that's tragic because you know I think you know personally he probably just fell out of love with the game after he got the money. We all play it for different reasons. You know, some people, I was telling some guys before the fight this weekend that I listen to like certain stuff. And when Crawford and Spence were at the final stare down, Crawford said to Spence, we about to make history. And then Spence said, and we're going to make a lot of money. So when they went out there and fought, one guy's fighting for his legacy. One guy's fighting for history. The other guy's fighting for money. And that's the same thing, you know, with football. Some guys are playing the game because they love it. And then some guys are playing it because of the money they can make or because of scholarship they're on. And those guys generally are not going to be as good as the guys that's playing it, you know, for the right reasons or playing it, you know, so they can get their mother out of the hood or provide for their family. But if you have a why that's bigger than just money, then I think most of those guys will be motivated. But, you know, that's what I think happened with the running back market was Todd Gurley kind of messed it up after his deal.
No doubt. I also saw the cares he had at Georgia, too. I think he might have been out of gas anyway.
He got beat up. You know, yes. Same thing. He got beat up and, you know, got that money, said, okay, I got something for y'all. I'm tired of this.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt, Coach. Coach Gibbs, it's so fun to talk to you, man. Happy you got in Fort Valley. Go tell that Montez, man. If you need me to come down and talk to your team, more than happy to. Ain't nothing but a little drive from my house in Stockbridge down to Fort Valley. Ain't nothing but a little drive down there. So I need to help you. I hope to come see you all play. Once I know the Hawks schedule, because the Hawks like my main thing. So I know the Hawks schedule is, I'll be able to tell you all where I can come down there and see you all. And I'll get your number offline too as well, Coach. I'll take with you and help you out any way I can, brother.
Okay, man. I appreciate you, man. You're always welcome down here. Just let us know. And go Wildcats.
Yes, sir. Go Wildcats.
All right. Nice talking to you.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.